I didn't tell the story last time, and I'm pretty sure my boss doesn't listen. Anyway, so I'm going to tell the story. If I get fired, everyone listening, please donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/ladiesfright.
You make a checkout too.
My boss adopted an older dog. Mm-hmm. And that's very valiant. It's very, valiant's not the right word. It's very nice. And it's very heartbreaking when you hear about someone adopting an older dog, because you're essentially just making their last few years comfortable. And when you adopt an older dog or older pet in general, you kind of have to have that mindset of they could die tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he was talking a little while ago and he's like, my dog lost 3 pounds last year. And she was only 13 pounds to begin with. And that was like a couple of weeks ago. And my immediate first thought was that dog is dying. Mm-hmm. So he had to put the dog down. It was very, very sad.
Yeah.
And like, I feel bad because his family doesn't live nearby. He doesn't have a significant other. So it's just him and the dog. So we decided to donate money to the animal shelter he got the dog from as a condolence gift. I wrote a card with that message and I bought like a lavender candle because it's nice and calming, and I put it in a bag, and he actually lives pretty close to me. So I drove over there and I knocked on the door and he didn't answer. He lives in like a community area. And I was like, okay, I'll just leave it on the front doorstep. But it's a candle, and it was like 95 degrees yesterday, felt like over 100 with the humidity. And I was like, could this candle melt?
Yes.
And I was like, let me warn him. Like, hey, I put something on your front porch. And he was like, oh, thanks. Is it perishable? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, anyway, here's the code to my house. You can put it inside if you want. He's like, you know, the doors lock after 3 minutes. And I'm like, that's not the problem, buddy. And you have to understand, guys, I've not had this job for a year. I've actually never met my boss in person. And he was very chill with me just walking into his home. And I understand that maybe this time is not the biggest of deals, because like, if I was to steal something, he'd know exactly who stole it and he has all my information. But I have his house code forever now. I can just go in whenever. I'm not going to, but I'm right. Just saying. I think the weirdest part is like, and everyone's like, well, at least he trusts you. And I'm like, but do I deserve it?
I'm having
imposters. Yes. I'm worried. It's more like my true crime brain is like, why would you let, you don't know me.
Why would that's you fair. Do that?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it reminds me of the Devil Wears Prada, where she's like, oh, you get to bring the book to Miranda's house. It's like, this is what you do. You let yourself in. You do not look at anyone. You do not talk to anyone. You do this and this and this, and then you leave.
Yeah. But
just walk right in.
Yeah. Just walk right the fuck in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my boss. Also, this is Ladies Fright, and I'm Maggie.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Jackie.
And today, we are wrapping up the summer. It was a great time. I hope we all had fun. Hopefully, we didn't melt too much, like my candle in the sun.
Mm-hmm. I put some butter out on my, in a butter dish, like covered the other day to like try and melt it a little bit.
Did it work?
For a recipe? No.
Oh.
Because I put it out too late. Go on.
Okay. So we have been discussing many different types of fairies, but it seems one type of fairy that has been prevalent in many of our lives has been missing in our stories. And, you know, maybe it's prevalent in our lives because I know this is going to be a shock for everyone. We are Americans.
We are.
We are. We're Americans. Before going any further, I have to give credit to a non-American podcast. I was inspired to talk about this topic by the Weirding Hour podcast, episode 21. Famous, I didn't write down famous something. So famous cryptids, I believe it was. Sorry. I specifically looked up this so I would know the title and then just forgot to write the rest of it. But it is episode 21. I believe it's famous cryptids. You're like, okay, get to the fucking point. Who are you talking about? Well, of course, we're talking about the Tooth Fairy today.
Yeah.
The creepiest of fairies.
The creepiest of fairies. The irony behind me talking about the Tooth Fairy is through this podcast and through our Discord, I have learned that I don't like teeth. Mostly disembodied teeth. I find them very freaky.
Is this a good time to tell the story? I found a bag of change in my car once and there was a loose tooth floating around in it. I don't know whose tooth it is.
I hate that.
I don't know where it came from. Don't know whose tooth it was.
That's awful. I hate
it. Yeah, it was really gross when you think about it.
Yeah.
Some of you longtime fans who have been on here will probably remember the episode that Jackie and Lauren bought resin teeth. Yep. And have yet to use it, and I live every day in fear wondering when they will.
There's so many options. I can't decide, and I don't want to waste perfectly good teeth.
When you think tooth fairy, what comes to mind?
Children losing baby teeth.
Okay.
Are we talking about like her actions or the way she looks? Or both?
Both.
Okay.
It's also interesting that you say her. I will mention that too.
Her slash him.
No, I'm not correcting. I'm sorry. I'm not correcting you. I'm just saying that's an aspect.
No, I know. I always pictured the Tooth Fairy as like she had a pointy crown that was gold and a wand with a star on the end. And she had like puffy sleeves on her dress.
Very specific.
Yep. What imagery comes to your mind if I say like the Tooth Fairy?
You pull a tooth out of your head and then you sleep on top of it. And when you wake up, there's money.
But you don't have an image of like the Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
No, I guess just general fairy.
Okay.
Yeah. Of modern times, you know, gauzy outfit, small, wants teeth.
Small wants teeth. When I have a baby, I'm gonna get a onesie that says that.
Small wants teeth. Gross.
Have you ever considered the Tooth Fairy could have variations from different parts of the world?
No.
I think probably as an adult that has crossed my mind, but as a child, no.
So let's begin with the history behind the Tooth Fairy. As we know it today, the Tooth Fairy we have grown up with is a fairy, but it's actually a very recent American creation by Lillian Brown. In 1908, Brown wrote an article for the Chicago Tribune advising new parents on ways to convince their children to let them pull their loose teeth.
Brilliant.
She told the parents to tell children a tooth fairy would come and leave them 5 cents for their tooth.
5 cents? I got a quarter.
Inflation.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be talking about that. That's another portion. I'm oddly very excited for this topic. And I had a lot of fun researching it.
I'm going to start telling people that there's a blackhead fairy, so they let me squeeze their blackheads.
I think you should. But that means you also have to give them like change.
I can do that. I can live with that.
Okay.
Pennies for a blackhead. Pennies for a blackhead.
We can only guess where Brown gained this inspiration for this baby tooth economy. One possibility is from a 10th century North tradition of tend fae. The tradition promised children coins for their first fallen tooth. Vikings would wear a necklace of teeth into battle as good luck charm.
Gross.
According to Wikipedia, quote, the tradition is recorded in writings as early as the Eddas, which is the 1200s, which are the earliest written record of Norse and Northern European traditions, end quote.
So who knows how long it's been going on before then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we think it was animal teeth or like human teeth?
Human teeth.
Ugh.
Human teeth. Little baby teeth. Give me your teeth.
Give me your teeth,
I want
child.
Good luck.
I need them for my necklace.
I want your teeth, child. I need them for luck. I will surely die in battle if you don't let me remove your teeth from your head.
So as we move into some more modern traditions, I want to ask, did you know there was a Tooth Fairy Day?
No.
And it is the reason why I specifically moved this episode.
Oh, is this going to come out on Tooth Fairy Day?
It's going to come out very close to Tooth Fairy Day.
Ah.
Nice.
So Tooth Fairy Day is August 22nd.
Nice.
And I totally know what day this is that we're going to put this out. The 18th. So you have time to get ready. It's this Sunday, everyone. I knew it off the top of my head. I didn't open a calendar. On Sunday, it is Tooth Fairy Day. So happy Tooth Fairy Day, everyone.
Make sure you brush and floss.
Yeah. Okay, now that that is out of the way, we can talk about how people in the U.S. acknowledge the Tooth Fairy today.
Wait, we're not going to talk about what happens on Tooth Fairy Day?
There was not much about it besides, like, dentists or, like, hey, brush your teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Am I a genius?
Yes. You are a genius.
I hope so. I have a very expensive piece of paper to prove it.
According to Wikipedia, quote, a 1984 study conducted by Rosemary Wells revealed that most, 74% of those surveyed, believe the Tooth Fairy to be female, while 12% believe the Tooth Fairy to be neither male nor female, and 8% believe the Tooth Fairy could be either male or female. One review published children's book and popular artwork found the Tooth Fairy is also be depicted as a child with wings, a pixie, a dragon, a blue mother figure, a flying ballerina, two old men,
oh no,
a dental hygienist,
oh no,
a pot-bellied flying man smoking a cigar,
oh, I don't like that,
a bat, a bear, and others, end quote.
That's so many.
I love that.
Most children are offered money as an exchange for their fallen chompers.
Ew.
When I was young, I was told the Tooth Fairy gives you a quarter.
Yeah.
Jackie, how much were you told?
I don't remember.
Okay. I was specifically told a quarter.
I just know I found my mom's stash of my teeth in her jewelry box.
Oh, no. Oh, we'll get to that, actually.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, how come multiple? Like, one. Just keep one.
One is fine. You throw the rest in the trash.
Yeah.
Why do you need all of these teeth? I'm sure she still has them. You know, I'm going to text her right now.
I had my wisdom teeth in my keepsake box for a while. I didn't know what to do with them.
I wasn't able to bring mine home. I think they had to break them all when they got them out.
They never asked me if I wanted it, and I'm glad they didn't. And this sounds like it's a distant past. This was last year, guys. I just got my wisdom teeth pulled last year. Well, I didn't stumble across the going rate of a baby tooth in 2021 through my research. I didn't also specifically look it up. If I found it, I found it, I figured. I did find the tooth economy through some of the years, and it's very interesting. So in 2013, the average given was $3.70 per tooth.
That's a lot of money.
Oh.
I would not pay that much for a child's tooth.
In 2017, it was $5.70 for a tooth.
Yo.
In 2018, it was $4.13. And in 2019, the going rate was $4.96. Apparently, 2017 was a seller market for baby mouth bones.
Gross.
That's crazy.
Right? Some families will give more money for like the first tooth or the last tooth.
Mm.
So that might be the inflation, or like, I don't know, maybe teeth were a commodity. I mean, teeth have always been a commodity, but like maybe they were a real commodity in 2017. What happened? Let's go look at the world news.
Oh my gosh. What
are you doing with those teeth?
Why was there such an inflation on teeth? In some places, the Tooth Fairy even has its own currency. The Royal Canadian Mint started selling special sets of coins in 2011.
Oh.
Just last year, in 2020, the Royal Australian Mint began using, quote, Tooth Fairy kits, unquote. These kits included commemorative $2 coins.
That's kind of cool.
Right?
I like that.
Another ongoing question we all seem to have for this fairy is, what are you doing with those teeth? According to a Vox article, the Tooth Fairy economy explained, quote, in addition to building materials, some homespun stories have the fairy using discarded teeth for piano keys or placing them in the mouths of newborn babies. Others say the fairy needs the teeth for scientific research. And indeed, scientists at Washington University asked children to send in their lost baby teeth throughout the 1960s for a study on strontium, thank you, 90, levels and cancer risks. Huh. Participants received a button announcing, I gave my tooth to science.
I would love to find one of those. That's really cool.
That is awesome.
Before we fully begin our journey around the world, we need to cover a few traditions not so commonly talked about in North America. Canadian Indigenous people called Yellowknife Dene have mothers and grandmothers take the newly fallen tooth and put them into a tree. Then the family dances around the tree. This is to encourage the new tooth to grow as straight as the tree.
That's cute.
Huh.
Some Alaskan native tribes feed baby teeth to an animal, like a dog, and then ask for a replacement tooth to be brought back to them.
Like it poops out an adult tooth?
No, they'll just get one in their mouth.
Can I pause this for a moment?
Yeah.
So I texted my mother, Kathy, do you still have my baby teeth? And she texted me back a picture of my teeth in her jewelry box.
I hate that.
With a text that said safe and sound with a kissy face. And I love her so much. Why is there a thumbtack and a nail in there?
That's the thing you're questioning? Before I begin with all of this, I should have also mentioned, sorry, this lore of Tooth Fairy is not usually highly explained. So it's going to be a lot of like jumping around in short, like 1 to 2 sentences in some places. So just we're moving fast. We're going fast. Okay, so the Cherokee people had their children run around the home with the tooth and throw it on the roof after a cycle. The child was then to call out 4 times, Beaver, put a new tooth in my jaw.
That's fucking...
I like that.
The Navajo would pick the east side of a sagebrush, rabbit brush, or pinyon tree to bury the tooth under. The reason for the east side was because the east was associated with childhood itself.
Ooh,
interesting. Cool.
Let's continue our journey south to South America. In Brazil, children toss their teeth outside for birds to collect. The children would say, quote, lovely birds, dear birds, take away this tooth of mine and bring another one to me. The birds are thought to take the teeth and replace it with a small treasure. However, there is a catch. Birds are only attracted to clean and shiny teeth. So children are told they need to brush daily if they want the bird to make a trade for their tooth.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very smart.
In the Dominican Republic, kids throw their teeth on the roof and believe a mouse will bring a new tooth to replace the lost one. El Salvadorian children place their tooth under a pillow, like American kiddos, but instead of waiting for a fairy, they wait for a rabbit to collect their tooth.
What's a rabbit gonna do with it?
Who knows?
Is he building a wall?
Yeah, decorate its little warren. They're all, it's the picket fence. It's just a bunch of teeth.
That's slightly creepy.
That's so gross. Yeah.
In Costa Rica and Chile, if the tooth lost has a gold plate on it, mothers will take the teeth and turn them into jewelry pieces for the child to wear.
I like that. That's hardcore.
In Mexico, Peru, Chile, Argentina, Guatemala, and Colombia all share a belief, which originated in Spain, so we'll come back to it, of Ratoncito Perez, who also goes by the names of Raton Perez, El Raton de los Dientes, or just El Raton. He is a mouse. I can assume he's probably a rat, but we'll go with mouse. He is a mouse who leaves children gifts in exchange for their teeth. Argentinian kids even have a tradition of leaving him out a glass of water, or actually leaving the tooth in the glass of water in case he gets thirsty on his trip.
What if he swallows the tooth?
I think the teeth are too big for that.
It's a mouse. Ugh. Yeah. That's very thoughtful. It's like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But like
grosser.
Not quite as cheerful.
Let's hop the pond into Europe, where we can talk about our previous friend, El Raton, again. As mentioned before, he is a character from Spanish lore. He's such a beloved character that there is even a children's museum dedicated to him in Madrid.
Cool.
Just all about teeth, or does he do other stuff?
He's all about teeth.
Gross.
I'd go to that museum.
I just want to see. Yeah, is right? It a bunch of like taxidermied rats doing things with teeth?
No, the museum is dedicated to him and is not about him.
Oh. I misunderstood. I don't want to go anymore.
I'd still go.
I mean, I could be wrong. I did not look further into that. That's poor research on my part. I'm very sorry, everyone. It could be a museum of taxidermied rats practicing dentistry. Before we leave Spain, we need to talk about the Catalonia's tooth fairy lore. Because, as we know from witches, they like to do their own thing. They believe in Elis Angelettes.
Los Angeles. Angelette?
Yeah.
I feel like the T is silent.
I think you pronounce everything in Spanish, right?
Yes, and I feel like Catalan has a weird accent to it.
I'm sorry, guys, if I'm mispronouncing things. I am dyslexic. This is the best I got for you. Okay, so Els Angelettes, which translates to little angels, or Les Animates, meaning little souls.
Ooh.
They come and collect the tooth from under a child's pillow and leave a coin. I don't know why they have a different thing. They just wanted it different. They like to be a little different. How about we go to France next?
Sure. Let's go.
I love France.
France also has a mouse called Long Bon Petit Cerise, which translates to the good little mouse, who collects teeth and leaves gifts like candy or money. This mouse is thought to come from the 17th century story by the same name. And the reason I'm going to mention this story is it's firmly believed that this is heavily what makes up our tooth fairy in America.
It just turned into a person instead of a mouse.
Yeah, well, get ready for a trip.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's a folktale type of trip where you're like, that doesn't make sense, but I guess it's a folktale.
My seatbelt is fastened. My tray table is up. Let's go.
In the tale, there's a king, queen, and their very happy kingdom. Their neighbor was an evil king, who after hearing about their neighboring kingdom's happiness, decided to become a literal killjoy and attack them. The good king was killed during the battle, leaving his wife, who wasn't mentioned until now pregnant, to the mercy of the evil king. The evil king consulted with a fairy who said the queen's future child would be a beautiful girl. So the evil king decided to keep the queen alive so she could have the daughter, and then he could have that daughter marry his son.
Gross.
Yeah. The queen was put in a cell in a tower to wait out her pregnancy. While there, a mouse came to visit the queen and would do a little dance to amuse her. The queen was only given 3 peas to eat a day, which makes little sense if the king wanted her to stay alive and give birth, but what the fuck ever. Even with the queen's small rations, she would still give the mouse a pea. Every time she gave the mouse a pea, she would later find a better meal for herself in the cell. One day, a woman walked by the cell and said she was so hungry. She asked the queen to throw her the mouse so she could eat it. The queen refused and probably said, ew, gross.
I'm going to say, ew, gross.
The mouse helped the queen find some straw so she could be able to weave a basket and rope. The queen planned on using these to lower the baby out of the tower. On the day of the birth, the queen loaded the baby and began her descent when the little mouse jumped into the basket. The queen thanked the mouse for all its help. Then the mouse turned into a fairy and thanked the queen for not feeding her to some strange lady walking around. She offered to care for the child, but then promptly lost the kid when some people saw a lone baby on the ground and took it.
Oh no, what a terrible fairy.
The king heard the baby was born and came running up, and there was no baby there. He asked what the fuck happened, and the queen said a fairy took the baby. The king was pissed and took the queen into the woods to hang her. Luckily, the mouse fairy thing was able to turn the queen invisible, and she was able to be saved. Please don't ask me why the fairy did not do this before, or to the baby. No questions, please.
I mean, but that, like, oh, is this still the middle of the story?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's a fairy tale. It definitely ends.
Finish the fairy tale, and then I have a comment.
Okay. 15 years later, the fairy finds the princess, who had become a turkey herder.
Oh.
She was being proposed to by the evil prince, so I was like, what the point was her escaping anyway? Whatever. And she had refused him. The king had locked her in a tower as punishment.
Ugh.
That night, the mouse snuck into the king and prince's room and bit them. This made them awake in such a rage that they killed each other.
What?
Okay.
The fairy talked to the people and they seemed chill with the princess taking power. I don't know what happened to the queen.
She just stayed invisible for the rest of her life.
It said she escaped. Did not mention her on the Wikipedia page after. She's gone. She's fine.
Okay. All right. She had just given birth.
I mean, okay. So the fact that the mouse turns into a fairy, like, I did find stuff that said that fairies would sometimes transfigure into animals, often deer.
Mm-hmm.
Just another reason for you to love deer.
I love deer.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. That reminded me of that.
So before we move out of France, we need to talk about Mary Tillatukoa. Or Mary from the Roof. She is from Biscay in Basque County, France. She is thought to live on the roof of the Basserie, which is a specific style barn/farmhouse for that specific area. She catches tea thrown by the children onto the roof.
Gross.
Yeah. So we're going to take a very quick stop in the lowlands of Scotland, where they have a similar tradition of the white fairy rat, who buys children's teeth with coins.
At least that's more upfront, where he's like, I want to buy your teeth. They're valuable to me. I will pay you.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah. Very much. To Italy, where they consider garlic and variety the spice of life.
And teeth.
They have a tooth fairy named Fontina dei Denti. According to Wikipedia, quote, in some areas, the same role is held by Saint Apollonia, known as Santa Polonina. Yeah. There's so many fucking vowels. Italians, I'm sorry. You put too many. My mouth doesn't work. Santa Polonia in Veneto. Saint Apollonia's legendary matrondom involved having her teeth broken.
Oh.
She is frequently depicted artistically holding a tooth and is considered the patron saint of dentistry and those with toothache and dental problems.
That's so specific. You nice. Catholics are extra.
We just love making a saint.
Saint for toothache, saint for lost things.
Yes. It's because we secretly want to be polytheistic, but we're like, no, we're monotheistic. We're not polytheistic, we're monotheistic, but pray to the saint.
It's okay, be yourself, let it out.
Yeah. So that's the end of the quote. However, there is one more option for teeth collectors in Italy, and I bet you cannot guess what it is.
What?
It's a mouse. The small mouse is called Topolino.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
What is it with?
So I should probably address the elephant in the room, or I guess I should say the mouse in the room.
Ooh.
This stems from the Middle Ages, when rodents were valued for the strength of their teeth. Huh. During this time, it was thought if you fed a rodent your tooth, it would lead to your adult teeth growing strong like a rodent's. You also have to remember one of the features of being a rodent. That's not what it is, but the feature of being a rodent is their teeth never actually stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they chew stuff, is to
keep them short, like file them down.
Yeah, like cats with clawing things.
And beavers.
Staying within this time period, let's go to England. So we're still in the Middle Ages. There were a lot of superstitions behind children's teeth because it's the Middle Ages in England and we're bored. Many feared teeth could be used by witches for sympathetic magic. Another fear was if teeth were not properly disposed of, then the child would suffer hardship in the afterlife by searching for their baby teeth for all eternity. To avoid this fate, then witches, children were instructed to bury or burn their teeth. Jackie, you're going to be searching for those teeth your whole life.
Well, no, I know where they are.
Well, how do you know the afterlife looks like this?
Oh, I guess that's true. When my mom gives me back my teeth, when she's done using them, I will properly dispose of them.
But if it's the Middle Ages, how would they get fires hot enough?
That's a good question. I guess if you leave it in the coals for long enough, or if you have like an oven that you're feeding constantly, it is carbon. Eventually, it'll break down like a bone. You can
Or they had enough cremate fires from all the dead. You just toss it in one as you walk by.
That's also surprising because rats and rodents were, you know, feared because they carried plague.
They weren't feared for a while. They killed the dogs and cats first, which made the rodents even worse.
Yeah, because then nothing was hunting them.
And rodents aren't actually totally... That's a myth we've been told for a long time that rodents carried the plague. That isn't totally true. There are some stories with people with plague would go to war and they would launch their dead bodies into cities. So they would also get the plague.
Yeah, well, that's... But because if you touch the bubos, you're going to contract it.
Yeah. So they used to launch dead bodies.
That's fun so, like, Game of Thronesy too. I mean, obviously, Game of Thrones is a work of fiction, but...
Yeah. No, yeah. Biological warfare has been around for a really long time.
Gross.
We've always been shit.
Terrifying and gross. Yes. We've always.
Now to talk about Ireland. I feel like that's a bad segue, but anyway. Their version of the Tooth Fairy is... Anna Bogle, the leprechaun. The origin story of Anna Bogle goes, one day she was playing too roughly in the forest and knocked out her front tooth. She desperately tries to put the tooth back, but she can't, and she thinks she looks ugly. When it doesn't work that she can't put the tooth back, she has an idea. She will take the tooth of a human child to replace it.
Oh no.
Even though leprechauns are tricksters, they are not thieves. So Anna would leave a piece of her leprechaun gold in exchange for the tooth.
That one makes the most sense.
Right?
Yeah. As opposed to a mouse. She's like, I want this tooth.
Next, we will go to Germany. They have a version of the Tooth Fairy called Zanfi. They also celebrate Zanfi Day on August 22nd.
Hey.
And they have been since 1980. Unlike other Tooth Fairies, Zanfi leaves the tooth along with the money. So he doesn't want your tooth. He just wants to give you money, apparently.
What a nice guy.
What a great guy.
He's like, I don't want that gross tooth. I'll give you money to keep it.
Let's go to Finland next. They use more of a stick than carrot approach to dental care. You see, if a child eats too many sweets, a parent may warn the child, hemasepik. Kiko, or the tooth troll, will come and drill holes in their teeth.
Nice. Terrible.
It's very terrifying to me. I mean, that's what a cavity is, but still it's very terrifying. Now for Greece, where we mix it up a bit. Children here throw their teeth onto a rooftop. While doing this, they make a wish that their teeth will grow healthy and strong. Moldavia and Romania also have children throw their fallen teeth onto a roof. However, they instead are to call out, Crow, crow, take this milk tooth and bring me a steel one. Moving on to Lithuania. Instead of giving their teeth away, kids will keep their teeth in a box or make jewelry or keepsakes out of them. The children who don't usually have a belief in another version of the tooth mouth. In that tradition, children put their tooth behind the stove and wish to get a tooth as strong as iron.
Nice.
In the Ukraine, children will wrap their tooth in a piece of tissue or cloth and put it in the darkest corner of their home. Once placed, they whisper, take my old tooth and bring me a new one. They will then leave the tooth there until the new one grows in. It's just a tooth in the corner of a house.
Yeah.
And who are they whispering to? The Babadook?
Yeah, right. The tooth, I guess. The tooth spirits.
You know how you should talk to your plants to make them grow better?
Huh.
Continuing the trend of covering teeth, in Kyrgyzstan, kids wrap their tooth in food, most of the time bread, and try to feed it to an animal. They believe this will help the adult tooth grow in strong.
That's so creepy.
There's going to be a lot of feeding teeth to animals. I'm going to say that right now. Here at Ladies Fright, do not feed your tooth to an animal. We're not saying you should. We're actually telling you not to. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe in this, but I'm telling you, this podcast is not telling you to do that. For many legal reasons.
I'm Jennifer James.
I'm Jill Stanley.
We're psychics.
We're sisters.
We are the hosts of the Common Mystics podcast.
If you enjoy creepy stories,
road trips,
haunted locations,
history,
and mysteries,
then the Common Mystics podcast is for you. Check out our website at commonmystics.net. Find us on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you're listening to your favorite pods.
Mongolian children do something similar by putting their tooth into animal fat and feeding it to a dog, believing their new tooth will grow as strong as a dog's tooth. If there's no dog, they will bury their tooth by a tree in hopes that the new one will grow strong roots like the tree.
I mean, how about that? Can't we just do that? That's
Yeah, do that one.
I like that one.
Yeah. In China and Japan, and from what I understand, because I only saw this in a few places, India, Cambodia, Singapore, and Vietnam have a tradition of throwing and burying their teeth. If you lose a tooth from your top jaw, then you will bury the tooth. If you lose a tooth from your bottom jaw, then you will toss the tooth into the sky. The idea is the upper teeth will grow straight down to the ground, and the bottom teeth will grow straight up to the sky. Sometimes the children will make a wish for their tooth to be replaced with one from a rodent. Koreans do a similar thing with throwing and burying the teeth. However, they do not call for a mouse. Instead, they call for a blackbird. After tossing or burying the tooth, they will sing, "My old tooth I give to you, bring me a new tooth." In South Korea, they call specifically on a magpie, which is their national bird. According to Wikipedia, quote, "Some scholars think the myth derived from the word kachi, which was a Middle Korean for magpies that sounds similar to new teeth." Or, because of the significance of magpies in Korean mythology as a messenger between the gods and humans. Now, unquote.
That's cool.
Interesting.
That is pretty cool. In Pakistan, children will wrap their tooth in cloth and throw it into a river at sunset for good luck.
I like that, too. That's nice.
Turkey takes the fate of their children's teeth into their own hands. They're vigilantes. It is believed that a child's tooth aids in a child's prospects for the future. Parents will bury the tooth in a place that symbolizes what they would like their children to become in the future. For example, if you want your child to become a doctor, you may bury their tooth on the grounds of a hospital.
I like that too, actually.
That sounds like sympathetic magic, no?
I would, yeah. You gotta be careful though. I know in the States there are certain laws about burying body parts.
Yeah, it's a biohazard. Don't do that.
Well, just like you're...
Light a candle or something.
You're not actually supposed to, like, spread ashes, are you?
No.
But people do that anyways.
But people do it. Yeah.
And they get in a lot of trouble.
Well, if you get caught.
Mice, once again, return in Afghanistan. Kids drop their tooth into a mouse hole and demand the mouse take their dirty old tooth and give them one of their clean ones instead. It feels kind of rude.
That really is. Why would they want your shitty tooth?
Give me your tooth, mouse. I don't like mine. Much of the Middle East actually has a same tradition throughout it. The children of Oman, Libya, Iraq, and Jordan practice their throwing arm because when they lose a tooth, they are to throw it while facing the sun and say, "Oh, mighty sun, take this tooth and play with it, and do not forget to bring it back." Now, I can only imagine the sun is like the baby from Teletubbies. But this practice has been traced back to the 13th century.
An old tradition.
It's very old.
That's pretty cool. What if you had like a shitty throw? Yeah. Well, if you're staring into the sun, you can't really see where you're throwing. And then so you like throw it really hard and then it falls like 3 feet away from you.
It's the sun's bidding now. You have to get it. According to growinggreatgrins.com, quote, "Many sections of Africa have their children throw teeth that fall out from the upper jaw onto the roof and bury the teeth from the bottom jaw on the ground. If a lizard finds a discarded lost tooth, legend has it the new one will not grow."
Oh. Huh.
This is the only time there have been stakes.
Right?
None of the other ones have had that. That's fucked up.
Instead of coins, children in Mali hope for chickens for their milk teeth. They throw their tooth into a chicken coop and hope to come back the next day to a big chicken inside.
The tooth grows a new chicken.
Or attracts them, I don't know.
Ew.
Not sure on the physics.
Or are they making a comparison to eggs are white, teeth are white. Baby chicken?
Like new growth?
Baby. It's kind of a stretch, but...
A lot of these are kind of a stretch. Nigerian children collect stones. Boys are to collect 8 while girls collect 6. The children hold their tooth and stones, close their eyes, and count the number of stones in their hands. Then they yell, "I want my tooth back!" and throw the stones in their tooth and run away as fast as they can.
I have so many questions.
Don't ask them. I don't know them. In Cameroon, they like losing a tooth to be a spectacle. Mm-hmm. They have children throw the tooth on the roof while yelling, "Take this bad tooth and bring me a new one." Then the kids are to hop around the house on one foot for their relatives to see. In South Africa, a mouse is a dental mascot. Wonder where that came from. What does South Africa have to do with things in European lore? Huh? I wonder. Cannot make a connection there. Huh. Though, families need to be careful during their morning routine. The mouse does not take teeth from under pillows. No, the mouse takes the teeth from inside slippers. So you could put your slipper on.
And there's a tooth
in and there. Find a tooth in there.
Or a mouth.
or a mouth with a tooth, which is also awful.
Equally upsetting.
To finish up our trip around the world, let's see what the Aboriginal Australians do with their lost teeth. They put their tooth inside the shoot of a pandanus plant. They believe that as the tree grows, so will the tooth. The spirits who live in the pandanus leaves will look after the tooth while it grows. Now that we've been around the world, you may be thinking to yourself, "Hey, wait, I thought this was supposed to be about the tooth fairies. Most of these were mice. This isn't about fairies." I'm going to say that part again because I said fairies.
No, it was perfect.
"This isn't about fairies." And you would be correct. But I'm just going to tell you that I do not control the myths of the world, and you are missing an interesting fear by focusing on the negatives. So you're the bad person and not me. Stop projecting. My neighbors are jumping. They are also enraged by the mice talk. Anyway, before we keep asking what is a tooth fairy, which we've been doing, let's switch to now, why is there a tooth fairy? Why is it so universal to have myths about losing your baby teeth? There is the obvious answer of bones falling out of your mouth is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Even as an adult, one of the most common stress dreams people will have is losing teeth, further justifying the idea that teeth falling out is traumatizing. According to Wikipedia, quote, "Research finds that the belief in the tooth fairy may provide such comfort to a child experiencing fear or pain resulting from the loss of a tooth," unquote. However, this is clearly not the only use for the myth. We also use it as a bartering system for our children to practice better dental hygiene. The following comes from a Vox article. Quote, "Parenting expert Susan Newman, author of Little Things Long Remembered, says that the tradition, like the tooth fairy, can contribute to the lasting strength of parent-child bond. She says, what you're doing is building a child's memory bank with warm recollections of growing up. The article also goes on to share this take. Quote, Tula just suggested that the tooth fairy's purpose is to teach children about monetization and the free market.
Okay.
An early dose of capitalism.
Yeah. But she may address a deeper needs as well. Losing baby teeth can be stressful. The formerly strong and dependable body part becoming unstable and then falling out altogether, Rosemary Wells, the founder and curator of the now defunct Tooth Fairy Museum, thought the belief in the magical being who needed those teeth for her own puckish reasons served as a comfort for children.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to happen. This is the circle of life.
So don't be worried.
They'll come back. Unless a lizard finds it, then you're out of luck.
You're fuck out of
luck. Fuck you.
I wonder if there's still, like, photos online of the Tooth Fairy Museum, because I would go there.
Yeah, I would definitely go to that.
Yeah.
Because
if it's a bunch of little mice holding teeth. There's something interactive. You try on slippers and they're filled with teeth. Oh my God. Like so many teeth. More than one child's mouth full of teeth. So many teeth.
Just
I hate
mountains
this.
Of teeth. Scrooge McDuck diving in and out of teeth.
Dive into the pile of teeth.
A bolt of teeth.
I can just imagine the sounds like sliding on it. It sounds like little gravel pebbles sliding around.
like a bunch of shells.
Oh, yeah.
You had a pile of shells.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. Okay. Why am I?
Before we traumatize you any further.
Right. Yeah. So, well, next sentence. So how do we go about conquering the fear besides believing in an economy of teeth? Well, an article from azfd.com gives parents and caretakers some suggestions. The article advises to prepare children for losing their milk teeth before the age of 6, since this is the age most children begin to lose their first tooth. Also interesting, I didn't mention this in here, but they did say that most commonly a child will lose a bottom tooth first, and then the molars are like the last to go. Tell the child what they should expect, like what they might notice, a tooth being wiggly, what that all of a sudden feels like. You should also teach them the proper way to pull a tooth. This is hard because it involves waiting. The tooth should not take more than a quick tug to take out. None of this tying strings to the tooth and then to the doorknob and slamming the door.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
I personally have so much trauma from being threatened with this by my grandparents.
That's messed up.
They were like, oh, that tooth got to come out. And they're like, you can either pull it out yourself or we'll tie it to the door and slam the door.
So, how about you leave me alone, Grandpa?
Ew, yeah. Well, now they're dead.
I personally really enjoyed the slow wiggling. Like, I was always disappointed when the tooth finally came out.
Yeah.
I really liked the dental pain of wiggling a loose tooth.
I always try putting it back in, but I guess the gum was always swollen. I'm Anna.
You're like, go back.
But like, also could be wrong, but I've heard like it shouldn't bleed that much.
No, because it's meant to happen.
Yeah.
But if you suck on the tooth, it's still going to kind of taste like.
Yeah.
And-
yeah. No, but I remember like it just not like sometimes it's just not that ready and doing the twist and pull where it really should just be a little tug.
Yeah.
But if you do a twist and pull, it usually you have like blood coming out.
I remember one time I was at school and it was lunchtime. And for some reason, I think it was hot. We were having hot dogs or something. And I had a loose tooth and I took a bite and like I had a loose tooth and I was trying to be careful, but I guess I like stopped paying attention to it or something. I took a bite of my hot dog and it came out, but I lost it. And then I went to take another bite and it was like in the bun.
That's so much better than what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say that you were like chewing and you felt the tooth that like all of a sudden gave me like bad mouth feel.
I mean, I did feel the tooth. It was just in a bite of hot dog bun. What did you get at school when you lost teeth? Like, did you go to the nurse and she gives you a tiny little treasure chest?
Yes.
It was a little tooth-shaped plastic thing
yes.
that opened and closed that you could put your tooth in and bring it home.
Yeah, so they still do that. Okay, so I asked Justin about that because my boyfriend lived in Japan. And I was asking him, like, well, what was your experience with the tooth fairy? And he had an American experience. But I said something. He's like, well, I don't know, like, how much I got for the tooth. I don't remember often leaving my tooth under the pillow. I just lost them. And I was like, what do you mean you just lost them? He's like, and this is, if you know my boyfriend, this is such fucking Justin fashion. He's like, yeah, like if I lost it at home, I'd show my mom. But if I lost it at school, I'd just throw it in the trash.
Done with this now.
And I was
Bye.
Like, you didn't get the little treasure test? And he goes, I was in school in Hawaii. They don't afford that. They can't afford it.
That's terrible.
Yeah. The school system in Hawaii is not that great.
You know, a lot of people in Hawaii live below the poverty line.
Because they have to have everything. That's another fear. Well,
by the way, yeah. I asked my mom. She got a quarter for her teeth.
Okay.
She was born in 65, so this must have been like 1970 or so. Mm-hmm. But my dad, born in 1948, so this must have been the early 50s, also got a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her she got scammed.
Yeah. Did you tell her how much?
Yeah. I was like, the going rate these days is near $5. She's got like, I got ripped off.
I wonder if we can go back to our parents and be like, look, this is what you owe me in back teeth.
Yeah, right. With interest.
Back tooth payment.
Yeah.
So before we finish completely, I wanted to also mention there is a horror movie with the tooth fairy in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is called Darkness Falls. It is on Amazon Prime with HBO, which I don't have. So someone tell me how it is.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it came out in the early 2000s.
I believe so.
So the thing is, you're not supposed to see the tooth fairy. You're supposed to keep it completely dark. he saw the Tooth Fairy,
uh-huh.
and because of this, like, the Tooth Fairy killed his mom.
Okay.
Because she went on a murder spree, because you're not supposed to see her, and then he had to sleep in the dark indefinitely, because anytime it was dark, he was at risk for the Tooth Fairy coming back to finish what she started. And I think the gist of it was that she was, like, I think more of a witch.
This movie must have done really like well thing. In the box office.
Yeah, it's a shitty movie.
It sounds great. Movie. I will say I'm angry at Amazon because I saw it was with HBO. I don't have HBO. And I was like, okay, I get it. That's fine. But I was like, watch the trailer. And I was like, cool, I'll watch the trailer. So I go to watch the trailer and it goes, trailer not available.
You don't have HBO. Fuck you.
Did and you I'm like
fuck you, poor?
Let me watch the fucking trailer, you
no
assholes.
Poor's watching the trailer.
Did you refer it on YouTube?
Maybe I'd buy HBO if I could watch the fucking trailer.
I'm sure it's on YouTube or Sci-Fi if you have the Sci-Fi channel. I'm pretty sure I saw it on the Sci-Fi channel.
No,
like 15 years ago.
Speaking of movies, it's not a horror movie, but there was I think it's a book, but it was turned into a movie. It's called The Hogfather. I think it's by Neil Gaiman, and I believe the Tooth Fairy is a character in this story as well, and they show her, like, palace, and it's just, like, all white and, like, creepy.
Is it made of teeth, or is it just, like, white and bright and smooth like enamel?
I think it's white and bright and smooth like enamel. I don't really remember.
There are several movies that involve the Tooth Fairy. I didn't go into it because, like, well, one's the one with the rock. There's one that was like a version of the Santa Claus, but it's like a dentist becomes the next Tooth Fairy. I will say one of my favorite renditions of the Tooth Fairy is from Guardians. Not Guardians of the Galaxy. That's a different one. What is it? The one with hot Jack Frost.
A Marvel movie?
No.
Animated?
Yeah.
Oh, the same claymation style as Rudolph and...
No, Rise of the Guardians is what it's called. Rise of the Guardians.
There's a Tooth Fairy in that?
Yeah. But she looks like a bird,
huh.
Which is really interesting. She looks and reacts like a hummingbird.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Not like a blackbird or a magpie.
No, not at all. She's very, like, light and, like, I think she uses birds to get teeth, which is also interesting. She's just, it's just beautifully done. I highly suggest. It's like a, not like a more adult version, but like a more brooding version of all the fairy tale holiday things. Like, Santa Claus has, like, tribal tattoos on him.
I've never heard of that.
Watch Rise of the Guardians. Okay. Highly suggest. It's one of those films that, like, it has a cult following. It was not big because it's not a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think it's a Fox movie.
Oh, 2012.
I've definitely seen this movie before, but it was several years ago.
Yeah.
I think I was getting it confused with the other. There's another movie which has a very similar title, but it's all about owls. Also animated.
Yes. That was a book series, though. Wait.
That's also the Guardians,
it's like
right?
Guardians.
Is that the one with the cats?
Cahul?
Which one's the one with the cats?
I don't know.
We're getting onto a different topic. Moving out of this, it is now time for Frights and Delights.
Shark Week this week is terrible. All of the Discovery Plus, like, Shark Week stuff is just terrible.
Is it already Shark Week? I thought that was August.
It's like Shark Month now.
Oh, no. So, expanded it. Those greedy bastards. They know that's the only time anyone watches Discovery anymore.
Yeah. The only good one that we've seen so far is one that Robert Irwin did. Because, like, it's just like... not trying to make it anything else. It's like, look at these sharks. Look how cool this is. Da, da, da. My dad was so cool. This and that. Yeah.
I do feel like after a while, like, they'd be like, guys, we've said all the shark facts. What else do you?
There's no more new shark information.
No. They gotta start going back and just talking about really old sharks that don't exist anymore.
The Shark Week special I want to see is a special all about that 400-year-old shark in Greenland.
Oh, yeah. With no teeth. I feel so
please
bad for
help
him.
Me. I'm so old.
Is he still alive? Yeah.
Was it 400 or was it 100?
No, I think it was something ridiculous.
It's something like ridiculous. 400. Whenever that shark dies or if it has died, I decide that we should have a holiday on that day.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a new saint. Yeah, it's a 400-year-old Greenland shark.
So old.
That was 2016. Is it? Where's the update? Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Oh, we made carnitas in our Instant Pot the other day, and it was friggin' delicious.
You got an Instant Pot?
Joe's sister gave us hers. It's one of the, like, mini ones, but It works great for us. She, like, free with points from work, but she was too afraid to use it because it's a pressure cooker. But
okay.
But only in the pot. Like, it,
I know.
It's not everywhere.
It's
else.
Not like a turkey situation.
No. Yeah. But mostly we use it to make rice, but sometimes we make carnitas with it. And we made the same recipe several months ago, but we wanted like cinnamon sticks, and we didn't buy any at the time. But we did this time, and it is so much better. Like, it's got like cinnamon sticks and cloves and like jalapenos and garlic and onion and like orange juice and stuff. And so it's just like a really deep, like warm flavor. It's delicious. 10 out of 10 will be eating tonight.
I want a bigger Instant Pot, but I want the one with the air fryer on it too.
Why don't you just get an air fryer?
Because I would rather have one thing that does all the things than three things that do one thing.
Yeah, no multitask.
Yes.
No
multitask.
But I also just want a bigger Instant Pot. Like, we have the 6-quart. I think I want to move up to the 8 or 12-quart. I feel like I'm ready.
You've prepared.
I also just like doing things in bigger batches.
Makes sense.
Leftovers are the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can also steam dumplings in them.
I know. I remember when you steamed dumplings. They were tasty.
They're so good. I love dumplings.
We're on a gadget ban right now. Not that it was really a problem, but like, we just don't have any more cabinet space for gadgets.
That's why you get one that does all the things.
But we don't need anymore. Like, what gadgets do we have? A blender, a toaster, a food processor, Instant Pot, and a stand mixer. Which
stand mixers take up a lot of space.
They do. We just keep ours on the one table. I use my food processor as a blender. I don't have a toaster. I use that as the oven.
I've been using my oven to make toast because I don't have a toaster.
Yeah.
After having a toaster oven for like 8 years, I was so spoiled.
Oh, toaster ovens. Mm-hmm.
And now I just like hover over the oven on broil waiting for my toast. And I feel like another monster. But I was like, I'll just go pick up a toaster. And no one sells toasters anymore.
Target?
So what I do is I put the broil on and then go about doing business and then put the toast in. Do let some more business, flip it, and then come out. And it's only like maybe 2 minutes, which is what you wait for a toaster anyway.
Yeah. I'm like a light toast type person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. Toaster ovens are the best.
They are the best. I used it more than I did the oven, honestly. Yeah. Especially if you're just cooking for one or two people, you can do everything.
Oh, and I like them too if you want like a toasted cheese sandwich.
Yes.
Yep. You can't do that in a regular toaster.
No.
I do that on a pan.
A hot cheese sandwich. Listen. That's a grilled cheese, but if you just want a hot cheese sandwich that's a little crispy, instead of putting it in the microwave, you put it in the toaster oven.
Because the microwave will make it hot, but a toaster will toast it.
I just make a cheese sandwich. I'll just have a grilled cheese at that point.
You've never just put a cheese sandwich in the microwave?
No.
It's called a hot cheese. It's delicious. It's so good.
I'm sure it is. I'll just make a grilled cheese.
Anyway, I love hot cheese sandwiches.
Does anyone else have any frights and delights before we just talk about kitchen gadgets for more?
Oh, gosh.
This is how you know we're not Zoomers. We just talk about kitchen gadgets for half the show.
I bought a Halloween shower curtain and matching shower mat the other day.
Is that your delight?
Yes.
It's you need my to delight. Denounce what you're talking about.
It's a delight. I thought it was implied. It's pretty clear it's the delight. It's July. Just for listeners, it's July. But I'm ready. I'm preparing. My Amazon basket is just waiting. This one I couldn't wait for because it was so fucking cute. I wanted to have it. My fright is that Halloween is still 2 months away. Three and a half months. It's far away, y'all. It's midsummer.
Yeah. I was looking at Halloween makeup bags too. So you're not alone.
Right? Yeah. It's Halloween.
It's always Halloween here at Ladies Fright. Have fun.
It is always Halloween. I told Maggie, I was like, I can't wait to start decorating for Halloween. And she looked at me and she's like, you're never not decorating for Halloween. I'm like,
you have pumpkins out all the time.
I was like, no, more. More Halloween. The socially acceptable kind.
She says that like she doesn't have too many pumpkins out as is.
So many pumpkins.
And still some Christmas decorations out as well. I'm more concerned about the amount of candles you have out.
I have two candles in the bathroom.
No, Jackie, I helped you unpack. There's five candles, at least five, in your, like, cabinet.
Oh, you mean in storage?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a shit ton of candles. They're not all lit at the same time.
No. You get a headache.
It's fine. I don't need an intervention. I'm not ready.
I'm not saying you should light them all at once. I'm just saying you should probably stop buying candles.
No. Do you know that one tweet and it says like, I need help with my budget. And then they say like, this is what I spent on this, this, and this. And then they're like, candles, $5,000 a month. And they're like, I need help. My family's dying. And so it's like, buy fewer candles. And they're like, no.
Absolutely. Goddamn not.
That's me.
Hi, listeners. My fright also, because I don't know if you guys realize this, we tend to, record in bulk, so I still haven't gone on that trip to Colorado yet. I mean, when you're listening to this, I have, but I haven't yet. And my fright is with the Delta variant of this panorama, this Panera Bread we're living in. That going to another state. Jackie's not done yet.
This Pandora's box.
This Pandora's box.
This Pandora bracelet.
This Pandora radio.
This penultimate.
Penicillin Pioneer.
Penicillin Pioneer. I like that one. Okay.
This Pussycat Dolls.
Ew.
Problem.
Would you say the Delta variant is loosening up your buttons?
I would hope not. I don't even know how to take that.
Yeah, it's gross.
I'm fearful traveling a little bit because of that. I am fully vaccinated, but I've gotten used to being able to see my friends. And, you know, we do know that you are still able to get COVID. You're just not hospitalized with it. But I don't want to be the dick who gets my friends sick.
Yeah.
So I think even though we're going on vacation, we're still going to be hyper aware. And even though that Colorado, as far as I know, doesn't have a mask mandate right now, I think we're still going to try to sit outside as much as possible, not go in too many places, and wear masks while we're inside.
LA just reinstituted.
Yeah, which I mean, where we're going is not as crowded as LA, but I'm going to take the precautions that LA is taking.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also, I guess, a little freaked out because I feel like if LA is doing it, usually how the dominoes fall is LA does something, then New York City does it, and then New Jersey follows soon after. So I would not be the most surprised if by August, September, we start having mask mandates put back into place.
That doesn't bother me so much.
It doesn't bother me. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I thought we were out of this fucking woods, and I want to get out.
No. Humans are so bad. So bad at
this. Or have we reached the point in the, like, the 1918 pandemic where they had a parade to boost morale and then more people got sick.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
where we are now?
To the parade. We're in the super spreader where everyone's like, it's fine. It's over.
Yeah. I think that was St. Patrick's Day last year.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh yeah.
My delight is like a kind of a bundle bunch. So because we have not had mask mandates, we've been able to go back to our favorite bar. And our favorite bar, O'Reilly's in Newton, if you ever are in the area and get to go, is now home of our podcast coasters.
Yay! Evan put them out.
Yeah. Evan took them. I don't know if she put them out yet, but she was very excited about them.
She's lovely.
I think she thought they were stickers at first because I handed them to her. And she's like, I don't need all of them. And she goes, oh, wait, they're coasters. And then took them away from me.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So if you're ever there, and I also, she looked at me and she's like, by the way, end of August, karaoke is coming back, and so is Trivia Nights. So,
that's
like,
so exciting.
That's my other reason for my fright of, like, I don't want another mass mandate.
People, we want this.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
If you're not vaccinated already, please go do it. Please.
Just
please.
Do it.
Please, I want to sing karaoke again, please.
Pretty please.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, we have a couple of people we need to thank.
Yes.
That's not a sentence, whatever. To our sponsors. Huzzah. Thank you. It's also Ren Fair season right about now. To Alex Price, thank you for mixing and our theme music. To Josh, thank you for additional music. And to Joe, thank you for our lovely cover art.
Thank you.
Also, thanks to our patron, Mike.
Thank you.
If you want your name read on this podcast or some other goodies that we're offering, go to patreon.com/ladiesfright. You can find that in our link tree in our show notes. But you know what? I get it. Maybe we're not worth it.
Oh.
Just kidding. We're fucking worth it. But anyway, sometimes the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. This is not a good intro. Anyway. If you only want to donate one time, we have a Buy Me a Coffee. Go to buymeacoffee.com/ladiesfright. Also in our link tree in our show notes. You can find us on social media like Twitter at Ladies Fright Pod or Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Ladies Fright. You can also join our Discord. You can find that in our show notes. We stream live on TikTok every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stream live Wednesday nights on Instagram at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we stream live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Please join us. We love your faces and we love interacting and talking with you.
Thanks also to our editor.
Oh, to our editor. I forgot because I'm not allowed to say
who they are.
Person's name. Whoever you are, whomever, wherever, you know, it's going to be my editor. Another thing we are starting, we've dropped this, but we're starting it again. We're doing a call to action. Please leave us a review on either iTunes or Podchaser. This helps other people find our show, and it's really the best way to help support us. Besides paying us money, the best way to support us is exposure. We figure, you know what? It is hard to write a review, and we get it, and you should be rewarded for it. So every month, we're going to do a drawing of the names who have written us a review, and we'll pick one, and you are eligible to get a Ladies Fright sticker. So we'll give you a Ladies Fright podcast sticker as well as a Ghost Ally sticker.
Very sweet. Mm-hmm. Two stickers.
How
for
nice we are.
For the low price of a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Maybe one of my baby teeth.
Mm-hmm. And maybe one of Jackie's baby teeth. Who knows? Ooh.
Who knows?
For legal reasons, we're not going to send a baby teeth. For sexy reasons. Wink. Okay, Lauren, take it away.
Because this is Ladies Fright.
Oh, what a fright!
Hey, you guys. What is that? What's that tiny little weird door?
I don't see a door.
Really?
Yeah, what are you talking
about? You don't
about?
See it? It's right there.
No.
Where? I'm going to go open the door. Should I open the door?
I guess so.
I guess. Okay. I don't see what you're talking about. Point it out. What are you talking about?
It's right there.
No.
What's in it?
I'm going to go find out. You guys, it's a bathroom.
Oh, I didn't know we had a bathroom
I'll
there.
I'll be right back.
Like Maggie's regular bathroom or a different bathroom?
Oh, different bathroom.
Oh. Wait,
is it a spooky bathroom?
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Okay.
I know how this ends. I've been there before.
Okay. I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, safe.
I gotta go.
Yes, it travels.